Good morning. Oh, you have the little thing. Great. Well, good morning. My name is Danny Forte. This is my wife, Susan. And we both, you have to point it up there. I remembered. We both serve full-time with China Outreach Ministries, and we'd like to start off by saying thank you to all of you for supporting our ministry for the past 8 years in so many ways. You guys, you know, when we first started, we had no idea what we were doing. And we just cried out for help and support and encouragement and direction. And you guys were here for us every step of the way. And I really don't think we'd be in the position we're in now without this body. This will always be home to us. And thank you. I really mean that. So, you've been supporting our ministry for the past 8 years. For those of you who don't know, our ministry is to reach out to international students, especially Chinese graduate students and scholars at UAlbany and RPI, with the goal of sharing the gospel and then providing discipleship for those who come to the Lord. We'd like to give you a glimpse this morning of the ministry by sharing some pictures with you and two stories. Here is a picture of Mei Ting. We met her at church up in Albany. It was Freedom Sunday, and a professor from RPI brought her to the service and introduced her to us. She was not a Christian, but she asked Susan about a Bible that Susan was holding. We invited her to our Bible study and promised to supply her with a Bible of her own. Steve, next picture, was the unsaved husband of Lynn, a young Chinese woman that Sue and I had been working with for around 6 months. She was a nominal Christian, but was growing closer to the Lord as a result of our many conversations, Bible studies, her own devotions, and the fun-filled, spirit-filled, present activities that we always are involved with. Before returning to China this fall, I baptized her at RPI with her husband present. She asked us to look after Steve, her husband, while she returned to China for her work. Our first story is not the way things usually go. It's the story of two individuals, Mei Ting and Steve, the ones we just showed you pictures of, one a visiting scholar, that's Steve, the one on my right, Mei Ting, who is a master's student in business administration. Both were not yet believers when we first met. We invited them to our Thursday Bible study at RPI. They both faithfully attended for a couple of weeks when I asked Mei Ting if she wanted to tell God of her rebellion toward him and to ask for forgiveness for the shame she brought to her Creator. Pretty intense questions. I don't normally ask questions like that, but God was really present that night. She told us that she did, and she also wanted to make Jesus the boss or the emperor of her life. The Holy Spirit was present in a beautiful, powerful way that evening. Mei Ting told us that her grandmother, back in China, had been praying for her for many years. That always happens when we end up with people leading them to the Lord. It always seems like somebody else was there in their life at some point. So who knows how many people you've touched, and it will help them someday to come to the Lord. Well, we've been praying for many years. We rejoice in her decision. When I turned to Steve, the English name of our Chinese friend, I then asked him the same questions. He also replied that he wanted to make Jesus his Savior and Lord. What a night! We don't normally have that happen. Two people coming to the Lord in the same night, in the same room. It was pretty incredible. We spent the rest of the semester helping these two precious souls become established in the faith. Things usually don't go that fast for us. But God is not only faithful, He's surprising. He really is. The more you walk with him, he'll just do things that'll just blow you away. He has a great sense of humor. He has a great sense of timing. And he loves to surprise us. He is a good, good father. Please pray for these two as they grow in their faith. Our next story is more like how it happens, and that would be by Susan.
Before I tell you about our next person, I just wanted to share with you a little card that we got from Meiting at Thanksgiving. And Meiting is one of the people that we brought down to Len and Aileen's house in October after we were at Hunter Mountain. They hosted a picnic for us with Rose and John Gachin and Cindy Jones, and we had a wonderful time. So they have a part in this story, too. So she sent us this card, well, gave it to us at Bible study, and she said, "This is a letter to my brother and sister. Dear Susan and Danny, Thanksgiving is coming soon. Thank you so much for giving me great relief and hope every Thursday night. I have always kept your every prayer paper because it's a start to my new life. I do appreciate your work that you help others in a hidden but powerful way. I think it's the best work for the world and everyone. And everyone can do more and more good things because you buried seeds in their hearts. Also, it's very brave and wise to do what you love, and I can feel your strong belief. I will always support you, and feel free to ask me for help if you need. Because I have no siblings, you are my first brother and sister. Thank you so much. Enjoy every day." So now I'll tell you about Sophia. This is Sophia.
No, it's not. I'm pressing plus. Oh, that plus.
Yeah, that plus.
I pressed the wrong plus. Okay. There she is.
Oh,
no, you want the... No, Sophia, okay.
Oh, here's Sophia, okay.
This is Sophia.
Yes. We met Sophia the first summer that we moved to Albany back in 2011. That summer, we had our very first Bible study at RPI. We met Sophia as she came to the very last Bible study class of that summer. Another student that we had met previously, his name was Tao, picked up a group of three new Chinese students at the Albany airport the day before, and he had invited them all to come to Bible study with him. They all did. They were very tired, they were jet-lagged, and they were all coming down with colds. So we prayed for them. So Sophia was with this group. From then on, Sophia would sometimes come to Bible study, and on occasion she would also attend our RPI English classes. We also reached out to her and invited her to recreational activities in our home and other activities that were held in the area. Sometimes she would come and sometimes she wouldn't. She was a PhD student and she was always super busy. And much of the time she felt extreme pressure from her advisor to constantly work in her lab. On occasion throughout the next several years, I would get a text from or email from Sophia when she felt she was struggling. She even once showed up at one of our English classes in tears wanting to talk. Danny took over the class and I talked to her. Throughout each of these conversations, we would point her to Jesus and the peace that he was offering to her if she would only decide to follow him. And we would always pray with her and for her. She constantly resisted, but again, we'd hear from her the next time she felt immense pressure and was struggling and wanted to quit. We would again meet with her and point her to Jesus' love for her. And we would again pray for her and with her. During this time, she had also started dating Tao, the guy who had picked them up at the airport. He was also a PhD student. Tao was a Christian. They fell in love, and one day we got a phone call from Sophia asking if our pastor would marry them on 12/12/12. Obviously, this wasn't going to happen because it was just a couple days until they wanted this to happen.
And that the motivation wasn't exactly Christian.
Right, right. And she wasn't a believer yet. So, Tao was getting counseling that he wasn't equally yoked with Sophia, but they went ahead and they did get married on 12/12/12. Occasionally, we'd run into Sophia on the RPI campus, and Tao and Sophia would attend some of our Horizon events. Tao and Sophia eventually graduated with PhDs from RPI. The last time we saw them was when they stopped over to our house on Easter for our Easter celebration in 2016. They wanted to see us and say goodbye before they moved to California, as they both got jobs there. I don't know where Tao was working, but Sophia got a job with Tesla. So they're so smart. We kept in contact with her over WeChat, which is a Chinese social media platform that they use, and now I use.
It's kind of like Skype.
Yeah, it's the Facebook better, of though. But better. This Christmas morning, I put a message on WeChat to wish all of our Chinese friends a Merry Christmas, and Sophia wrote back, "I am baptized this year. Mm. Thank you for your intro and prayers. Merry Christmas." We knew Sophia meant, "Thank you for your introduction to Jesus, and thank you for your prayers. I am now a follower of our Lord. This is why we do what we do." Mm. Praise God.
We're not finished. Well, this past year, 2017, we shared the gospel with over 100 people. 7 came to the Lord. We hope that many more over time will be like Sophia and surrender to Jesus as well. Because we've planted seeds in so many people, and you just never know what's going to happen. 7 were baptized and 12 received new believer training. Thank you for making all of this possible. Okay. So now I'm going to change hats and bring the message for today. Not too long. The title is Spurring You On, and it's taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know, that word spur, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I looked it up in my Strong's, and it means incite, to provoke, to sharpen. It's a really powerful word, and I think that when translators translated it spur, they did a really good job. The word spur, you know, for a horse, when you kick that horse a little bit and make him go faster, it's not a very pleasant experience for the horse. So spurring a horse is not enjoyable for the horse. So today, hopefully, we can allow God to speak to us this morning, even if it's a little unpleasant. You know, it's so hard to bring a word like this because God is, it's only by the Spirit that you can bring balance. You know, that God is a very powerful God and a very just God, and he wants us to be obedient to him. And yet he's such a loving father, sort of like when we sang the song before, Lion and Lamb. You know, there's such opposites. And I think that's the only way we can get the complete picture of God, by looking at him sometimes as he is in opposites. So this morning, I want to bring something that I feel that God has for this body. And so I just ask you to consider it prayerfully. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, open our hearts and minds this morning to receive from you the promise of Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God doesn't want bystanders. He doesn't want us to sit on our butts. Sorry. We're called to be part of the family business. We have been entrusted with gifts, each one of us. Don't sit on them, don't bury them, use them. And the world out there is dying, and it needs us. You know, the harvest is plentiful. What a tragedy that the harvesters are so few. God has a calling on each of your lives, and he wants you to take that seriously. I believe a mature Christian is one who cares about his holiness, his relationship with God. He cares about the physical and spiritual condition of his brothers and sisters in Christ and of his neighbors, and he cares about the lost. This morning, I want to challenge you with this. These are God's commands. I want us to do an assessment in our own lives. And I will give you my assessment and to show you that I'm struggling in these things too. But that we all need to look at our own holiness. We all need to look at how we have a relationship with God and what that relationship consists of. You know, God said, I want you to be holy, for I am holy. And that means separated from the world and yet part of the world. How do we know that we care? Well, you're doing something in these areas with your mind, your time, and your resources. What are you doing? Maybe you're on the right path. Praise God. Keep it up. But God will always fine-tune you, because the goal is for us to become like Jesus Christ. And so there's always room to grow. Always. So, you know, God is a merciful, wonderful God. But he wants to spur us a little bit, because there's a dying world out there. And also, you know, our brothers and sisters need our help. And our neighbors definitely need our help. So maybe you are on the right path and God is just fine-tuning you. That's great. But maybe you're off the path. Maybe you've lost your way. Call out to God this morning and ask him to return you to his way. And maybe you don't care. And you know, if we're honest, I think that there's times in our life that we don't care. What do we do during those times? Well, the first thing to do is to be honest with God and to say, Lord, I don't care. And I know that I should care. And I don't. And what are you going to do, Lord? And that's what's so great, because the Lord can change your heart. He can make you to care. And I'll give you an example later of something that he did in my own heart. The scripture from Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Isn't it amazing that God, when he speaks to us, he always challenges us that we need to act. But then he always tells us that it is him that is acting. So there's a, you know, an apparent contradiction there, but it's not. You know, when I was in this church and I was taking a Bible study with John Rampe, is he here this morning? No? Okay. I'm sorry? Okay. We were learning about the Ten Commandments, and we called them the Ten Promises. You know, that God never commands his son or daughter to do something without giving them the ability to do it. I'll never forget that. And I always look upon, when I come upon something in Scripture, you know, the great commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, to love your neighbor as yourself. I can't do that. Well, it's the great promise, too. God can give me the ability, if I ask him, to love him more, to be holy, and to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and to love those that are lost. God can do all those things if I just ask him. So if you don't care this morning, realize that's a warning light. You know, and again, I'm not trying to bring condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I've learned over the years that when I feel like, oh man, I just don't feel good about something, I don't know, it's the devil. When God wants me to feel something, he convicts me and lets me know what it is that I'm doing wrong. So I ask you this morning not to be condemned by anything that I share. And Lord, please help these words not to be condemning words, but help them to be convicting words, that you would see in your own heart a place for you to be able to grow, a place for you to be able to prosper in God, to unfold like a flower, because that's God's intention for all of us. He loves you as his beautiful children, as his beautiful garden, and he wants all of you to prosper and to flower and to show the world his love. So assessing myself, when I looked at my own holiness, I realized that something needed to be fine-tuned. I was going through, you know, every day we were doing what we're supposed to be doing and sharing the gospel and doing acts of mercy and all sorts of things, but the joy was starting to slip away a little bit, and it started to feel a little bit routine, and I cried out to God, you know, what's going on? You know, what should I do, you know? And lots of things, but one of the things that he pointed out to me was the Sabbath. I know that, again, I'm not trying to lay it on anyone as a legal thing, but God showed me that for Sue and I, we needed to take the Sabbath more seriously. Not for his sake or to obey a command's sake, but to be recharged. And we started taking the Sabbath more seriously and putting him first for a not quite 24-hour period, but close to it. God loves our attempts. You know, we don't have to be perfect in them. But we started putting him first, and we started thinking about him and praying together and reading the Word together and doing fun things together, because the Sabbath is not just to recharge us spiritually, but to recharge us physically too. And so many times we just had our heads buried in work, and we didn't stop just to enjoy what God has given us, creation, each other, our families. And so we started doing that on Sunday afternoons when we got back from church, and until Monday at lunchtime. And God has blessed us for doing it. And God has restored a lot of the joy in my life and Susan's life in what we're doing. So he fine-tuned me because I asked him, because there was a warning light going off on my dashboard, and I didn't just, you know, ignore it. I said, Lord, something's wrong here. What is it? What can I do? Then with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, something a little more serious. There were people that we were working with that I started really not to like. Really not like. They aggravated me. I wanted them to go away. And then one day the Lord showed me the scripture that said, if you can't love the brother that you see, how can you love me that you don't see? And man, oh man, it just pierced my heart. I said, Lord, I can't. I don't like them. Lord, change my heart. I'm just at your mercy. You know, be the lion, you know. And the last time I have to say that I worked with that person, I like them. And I started to appreciate them and to see, wow, I didn't realize this about them, you know. How can God do that? He did. That's what makes us different from the people in the world. When I was in the world, would I ever have said that? I would have just kept thinking how bad that person was. You know, but being a Christian is different. And God changed me. And I'm sure I'm going to still fall a couple of times, but I'm going to keep going with that and say, Lord, you have the control of my heart. You can make me love where there is no love. And so God can do it. And then with the lost, the Lord has showed us, Susan and I, that, you know, we are getting older, and we want to be more effective. We want to, Lord, again, I was saying before, the harvest is so big, and the harvesters are not enough at this point. And so we've been asked by our organization, China Outreach Ministries, to get more involved with training new staff, helping them to understand how they can reach the lost and what they can do. So we agreed. We'll still be doing what we're doing up in Albany, but we'll be spending some of our time with national things. And so we are being fine-tuned so that God can use us more. And that's something that is on my heart. I really feel that I want to disciple people. I want to help them to learn how to serve God in a more fruitful way. So that's me in these three areas: holiness, loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the lost. Now it's time to assess yourself. What is God asking you to do in regards to your holiness You know, how's your quiet time with the Lord? It's amazing how many people just let that go sometimes. But it's really important. You know, I mean, it's simple things, you know, like if you don't eat and you don't drink, you're going to die physically. It may take a while, and you may look like you're living for a while, but eventually you're going to die. And spiritually, if you don't read the Word, if you don't pray and talk to God, you're going to dry up inside. You probably won't physically die, but you may feel like it. You are. So take that seriously, your quiet time. And what about some sins in your life that maybe you have become, it's not so bad. Anger. You can get used to anger. I know for a while I did. You can get used to gossiping. You can even get used to pornography. Don't let those sins dominate your life. Cry out to God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Say, God, this is wrong. I've lived with this for too long. I need for you to take it out of my life. I need to grow. I don't want to stand before you and say, Lord, I struggled with this for 35 years. Just like God changed my heart with those people that I worked with, God can change your heart with anything. Anything. The lost. You have a light, don't put it under a basket. If you know God, God is doing things in your life. Look for opportunities to share what he's doing. They can be simple things with your neighbors, with your people at work, whenever. God will give you opportunities. Maybe you don't know how to share the gospel with somebody. Find somebody in the church that knows how to share and ask them to help you. You can go online and look up something as simple as the Roman Road, or order tracts, the four spiritual laws. Some people, they think that, oh, you can't use that anymore, it's too old. It still works. I still use those tracts, and they work. If you need help, then get the help. But learn, and you know, it's interesting, as you share the gospel, you become more happy about the gospel for your own life. God always blesses you when you do his will. Okay, I'd like to kind of end it with these two scriptures. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Don't be satisfied with your assessment only. Ask God for his assessment. Lord, is there anything in my life in terms of these areas? And really, all these areas fit into the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. It's what Christianity is all about, to love God, to love our neighbor, to care for the lost. 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. You know, this scripture is really interesting. God doesn't need us to confirm our calling with him. He already knows our calling. He's the one that called us. We need to confirm it. And I guarantee you, the more you do these things, the more you seek after holiness, the more you seek after a relationship with God, the more you seek after loving your brothers and sisters, the more concern that you have for your neighbors, the more interested you are in the lost, there will be a result. And the result will be more assurance in your own salvation. The result will be joy in your service. The result will be effectiveness in your love and in your witness. Isn't that great? So be holy. Care for your brothers and sisters and neighbors and share Jesus with the lost. Oh God, we are your workmanship. You've called each of us before the foundation of the world to walk the good works that you've planned for us. Help us, Lord, not to miss them. Help us to fulfill your purposes for our lives. And remember, you're not in this alone. God is faithful. All right? Thank you.